Thank you for joining us again this morning for our biblical study time together. The Crockett Church of Christ makes available this program for you, and it's a study of the Bible as to what God expects of our lives as we live here upon this earth. Notice to be happy before God, there is a way of life that He wants us to lead. This is brought to you as a result of the studies that have been done at the Crockett Church of Christ over the last several weeks of time. We had a wonderful series of sermons to be delivered by Jimmy Ferguson, who grew up here and now lives in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and does a work at the Hardy Church of Christ there at Hardy, Arkansas. And a good presentation that he did of every one of the lessons may be heard by you at the CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com website. I'll mention that before the program ends today, but certainly we'll want to mention it to you now because we want you to be advantageous of going to that site and clicking on that particular lesson study and listening to the study that was done. In the first part of the week, we had some problems with some of the batteries, but we nevertheless had a lot getting on to Monday night, Tuesday night, and so forth. We had wonderful new batteries, and we had everything in order, and it's all there on the website. Keep in mind the CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com is the website. The lady told me that she was getting everything out of Texas because of Crockett Church of Christ, and I said, well, I'm in Mississippi. She said, well, let's add that to it, MS. CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com, and you will get to that particular study underway from the time of our series of sermons over the last week or two of time. Today I'd like to ask you, how can we be happy before God? How can He bless our daily walk of life? In 2 Timothy 2 and at verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. The King James says, follow that passage, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's an Old Testament in the Bible, there's a New Testament in the Bible. And as a result of having the Old Testament, people would prepare themselves for life. He tells them in the New Testament very plainly, that the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. We have a great hope in Christ Jesus who was coming, and the prediction that He was coming was found in the Old Testament of the Bible. Now that Old Testament told us about how we could please the Lord. He tells us that we can be people who find ourselves studying to show ourselves approved unto God. As a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, handling aright the word of truth. Going to the New Testament now and see what Jesus has taught and what the apostles of the Lord taught people to do and how to behave so that they would live faithfully the service of God. How can we be pleasing in the sight of God? You look in the book of Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, beginning verse 1, we see, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he talks about how the aged men are to be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith and in charity and in patience, and how the aged women are to be in behavior that is becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving to us what wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home and good and obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And the young men, verse 6 of Titus 2, are likewise to exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants, he says, to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And then he says this in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The chapter in Titus 2 closes at verse 15 saying these words, do the things of God and be pleasing in his sight. And what did he say there in verses 11 to 12? The grace of God brings salvation has taught us some things. It's taught us some things to do and things not to do. First off, he starts out in the negative, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. What is worldly lust? Described by John in 1 John chapter 2, all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things are of the world, not of the Father, not of the Lord. These things are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord. They're to be avoided. He tells them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Titus 2 and verse 12. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If we live righteously in this world, in Philippians chapter 3, in reference to this matter, Paul says that he lives righteously, not of his own merit, not of his own accord, not his own way of doing things, but of the righteousness that is of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said he was living in the Lord. He was a person who found himself living righteously and godly in this present world. Titus 2 and verse 12. Yes, there's a way for us to live that pleases God, a way for us to live that is a salvation way of life. He tells us that in Titus 2 verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Some people teach about the grace of God being that which comes to wonderful blessings for our lives. It's so wonderful and so powerful in our lives, and it's a way of life for us to enjoy. And therefore, we can find ourselves enjoying the hope of heaven itself if we have the grace of God that we depend upon. But the grace of God teaches us. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, it teaches us to deny some things. Deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There are people in their religious movements who teach you, and you've accepted the idea, that if you just have the wonderful grace of God abiding with you and coming upon you, that that's all that's necessary for you to have, that that's all that's necessary for you to trust in. And you can have a wonderful trust in the Lord and live that way of life, and you'll be in heaven itself when you die. But unless you practice what he says here in Titus 2, I've got my doubts about that doctrine and that idea. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12 says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. He'd gone right through all the world at that time, teaching people right and left about the gospel, the saving gospel of Christ. Writing in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When we live by faith, we live by the righteous conduct that we're supposed to get into. And as we get into the righteous conduct, notice what he says here in Titus 2 and verse 12. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we're supposed to live. And if we live soberly in this world, we're not filled with alcohol and abuse of drugs and the like, and find ourselves foolish in our conduct, we live soberly. And we live right doing, righteously in this world. We do what's right. We do what's right regarding the poor in the time of need. He tells us in James 1, beginning verse 26, how that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We're to look for the needy around us. We're to serve the needy around us. And if we have certain funds that we are limited by, we can tell others of the church about that particular person in need and those circumstances of those widows and orphans, and they will join in the same way. And as a result of that, we'll have a work accomplished for good. We'll have people won to the Lord because of the service that's been rendered to them. And we'll practice that pure religion that's undefiled before God and the Father. It's to visit, care for the widows and orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, friends, we're talking about a way of life that he says is a way to do, a way to practice. That makes him happy about us practicing that way of life. And if we do that, we'll have not only the salvation of our souls, we'll practice pure religion as we go forth in this life, and we'll adopt that way of life for sure as we live in this world in which we live. We're talking about a way of life that we can do, a way of life in which we can behave. The religious world at large, however, confuses every aspect of these techniques of teaching that are given in the Scripture. In reference to this matter, is there any word from the Lord, Jeremiah said back there in Jeremiah 37 at verse 17, is there any word from the Lord? Well, on the subject of salvation from sin, certainly there's a word from the Lord that is given. And here in Titus 2 verses 11 and 12, you can realize this word. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is a way of life for us to live and to follow and to practice as we go through in life. And as we do that, we'll find ourselves blessed of the Lord. Think about the ways of life that we can follow that will please God. Instead of pleasing ourselves, pleasing somebody else, pleasing a religious system that we're in, let's be people who serve the cause of God and please Him as we serve the Lord from day to day. Over the last few weeks of time, we've had a wonderful series of sermons to be presented at the Crockett Church of Christ. We invited the whole area to come in and be a part of any of these services. And if they could not, to find themselves an opportunity to listen to the lessons presented by way of the internet system. The internet provides for us an opportunity to teach many times the same message that was delivered beyond that particular night of its presentation. And as we recorded the deal, we found ourselves in problems on Sunday and Monday. We found ourselves in problems because we didn't have everything together, and the bright batteries that we had were not of good nature, and so we had to find some new batteries, and we got some new batteries, and the rest of the week was strong and very good. And as you go to CrocketMSChurchOfChrist.com, Crockett is spelled with CrockettE. Crockett. And Crockett Church of Christ is there since the late 1800s. And so we are there, and being part of that service with them, we enjoyed the Bible studies that were delivered by one who grew up among us back in the 40s and 50s, Jimmy Ferguson. And as a result of hearing his messages and presentations done so dramatically and so well, we recorded those, and you can hear them too. You can study your Bible with them as you go along and enjoy those studies by the CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. If we just hear what he has to say and we don't get into the practice of it, what can we say about it? well, we'll find ourselves just hearers of the word. In James's words regarding this matter, those who hear the word only find themselves just doing nothing about God's will. And if we find ourselves just doing nothing about God's will, he tells us in James 1 very vividly what's going to be the result of that work. He says regarding this matter that if a man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Notice what he says regarding this matter. We're to practice a way of life that is true and good. And as we do that, we find a way in which we can say, this is the way that God has told me to live. This is the way God has told me to behave. And if we just hear only, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What if we just hear only, and we don't get into practicing what he said, then what happens to us? We're people who deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let's be people who serve the cause of God. Let's be people who do his will. And as he says in James 1 at 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he says this again as we go along. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If we find ourselves practicing what God has said, we'll be blessed. But if we do not, we'll deceive ourselves. We may be a part of a religious movement. We may be a part of a religious system. We may be a part of religious ideals, but if we find ourselves not doing what God has said, we deceive ourselves. We're thinking that we're okay with God, we think we're all right with him, but we are not all right with him if we do not do what he has said. Let's do it again in James 1 at 22. Be ye doers the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says in verse 21, to receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Somebody says, oh, I don't need the Bible. I don't need the word of God. I don't need to obey the word of God to save my soul. James says in James 1 at 21, receive the engrafted word. Plant it in your heart. Plant it in your deep soul that you may be a person who is able to save your soul. The Crockett Congregation invites you to its services. We're located 6 miles from the Interstate 55, going west toward Tunica on Highway 4. If you go west on Highway 4, out 6 miles, you'll see a big sign there on the left side of the road from the interstate, and you will see the Crockett Church of Christ, and you'll see our time of services, 9:30 on Sunday morning, 10:30, and 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We invite you to be a part of those services with us, and it's not that far at all, and you find yourself overjoyed to ride that distance and to find yourself in the pew and being a part of the biblical studies that we do. We'll study the Bible from the standpoint of what's said by the Lord, what's planned by the Lord to bless our lives, what will be the right thing to do, to practice pure religion and undefiled, to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We'll have that to be preached and taught right and left all the time, and you could be a part of that congregation, part of that right way. The Lord will add you to the church as you're saved from sin. Acts 2 verse 47 tells us that the Lord himself adds to the church daily such as should be saved. He does that because we become a part of not our church, but his church. We become a part of his way of religious practice. We practice pure religion in caring for the fatherless and widows in their affliction. and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We're practicing pure religion that he writes about in James 1 at 27. We're talking about a way that pleases the Lord. He's pleased to have us do that. He wants us to have us do that. He tells us that he recognizes we're doing that. In reference to the Holy Spirit in our daily walk of life, he tells us that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans chapter 8, vividly, the description is given that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're the sons of God, we find ourselves doing what he says, and he recognizes what we're doing. And as he recognizes our deeds and activities in life of being what the Lord has asked us to be and do, he tells us that the Spirit bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans chapter 8, vividly, description is given of the Holy Spirit's work in the daily walk of life of the children of God. He tells us in Romans 8 and at verse 13, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're talking about a way of life that pleases the Lord. He looks at that, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8 at verse 16, and that's the way of life for us to lead. And here's a congregation in this area at the Crockett Church of Christ that invites you to study the Bible with us and see what God expects us to do in every area of life. And if we find ourselves doing that in every area of life, we find ourselves being what he wants us to be. And that's what Titus there was told by Paul. And Paul says to Titus the following, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does he tell us to do to please God? What does he tell us to do that the grace of God teaches us to live? Now, this grace of God, so many misinterpret, thinking that it's just a way of fanciful thinking about our minds. We just think about God and his wonderful grace through Christ at the cross, and how he shed his blood for us, and how the great hope that we have in him. And we just don't do anything about what he said. We don't get on to reading further parts of the Bible and see what he wants us to practice. We just do not do it. And when we come on this broadcast, we don't talk about our doctrine. We don't talk about our church. We don't talk about our way of zeal. We talk about God's way of expecting us to do his will. And as he expects us to do his will, we have a blessing to share with everybody. And the way of life that we can live and practice says for us to be people who serve the cause of God. Are you serving the cause of God in your religious doctrine and teaching today? Are you just being a person who pleases yourself? You please a certain religious system. You please a religion that perhaps it goes a long way back. My grandfather practiced this way of life. My grandmother practiced this way of life. My daddy practiced. My mama practiced this way of life. I've got a brother who preaches this message, and this is the way of life that I want to live. But in all of that, when you hear about the message that our relatives followed and the message that they followed and practiced in life, can we say that they followed the teaching of the Lord as they followed? Did they follow His teaching? Is that the emphasis given? Or was it the emphasis given to that church, that way of religion, that way of life that they practiced, and I'm practicing it too, and I'm satisfied with it, and I'm just going to stay with it no matter what the Bible says about the subject? I hear you talk about what the Bible says and what God expects of us to be happy with our daily walk of life, but I don't want to do that. My folks didn't practice that way of life. I'm sorry that your folks did not practice that way of life. Maybe it was that the good grace of God will reach down to them and see their heart of sincerity about what they were trying to do. But I can't tell you that particular matter when you can live in a time where you can hear me speak about the teaching of God and you can hear about the message of the Lord. Churches of Christ are part of a great movement, a great restoration movement, to restore, not to reform. There were churches who set up to reform the doctrines that they were being taught and practiced. But today, we are in churches of Christ because we find ourselves honoring not a man-made church, not a man-made system, but the church of the Lord. And if we're in the church of our Lord, we'll be people that He wants us to be. Because look at it in Acts 2:47. The Lord adds daily to the church such as should be saved. Salvation is in His church, not ours, not mine, not our way, but His way. That's what He expects us to do. Will you not study with us once again the messages that were delivered by Jimmy Ferguson back a couple weeks ago at the congregation there at Crockett? He came back to visit with us and to preach these messages from the Bible, from the Word of God, on every theme that he had in mind. And so he did. And we enjoyed a series of sermons that were just absolutely wonderful for us. And we invite you to go back to our website, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. Just one word, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. And you'll find that website and you'll see on the right-hand side of that page, you'll see the topics of various teachings that Jimmy Ferguson did for us. And as you click on that particular topic in mind that you want to hear, then you will hear his message delivered that night. You may hear a few songs that were sung and a few prayers that were stated as well as we record a particular matter, but you'll hear him main part of the studies that were done. And you'll enjoy the study with him, and that's the way that we would like to have you to study with us today. This message will be there delivered, and it'll be available to you. And let's be a servant of the Lord as we study his word and please him in doing what he has said for us to do. This is Robert Rawson.